Beautiful special. Thank you very much. Well, Brother Dan and Sister Manon have been married, I think, a little longer than my wife and myself have been married, I believe. I look at it like, you know, Dan was lucky enough to get Manon. And we were lucky enough to get Dan. I consider him my brother, and probably one of the things you could do for him would be to pray that Brother Dan stays humble. You know, there's probably hardly anyone in here that has not at one time or other asked something of Dan. It's true, isn't it? Just about every one of us at one time or other. So we should lift him up. And God bless him. And I know that he loves the Lord and that he will try and serve the Lord by serving you this night. Please give your prayerful attention to Brother Elder Dan Lawrence.
Thank you, Brother Jay. I want to thank my family for a very beautiful and moving special. I am blessed. I'm blessed to have my immediate family. I'm blessed to have the family of Christ and all of you. And it's just, this is, I'm more than lucky. I'm blessed beyond measure to have been introduced to Manon and consequently introduced to each one of you. It's my hope that I'll accomplish the Lord's will tonight, but only with your prayers, that the message that the Lord wants each one of us to hear, including myself, will come through. I have an outline, but it's the Lord that's going to fill in the blanks. So, and let's pray for my computer, too, because maybe you noticed Jay and I looking at each other. It's kind of been going off and on. So we'll pray that it's more on than off. I'd like to speak this morning about being delivered this morning, this evening. Used to speaking in the morning. Speak this evening regarding being delivered out of bondage. And I'm going to start with an account in the book of Mosiah in the 5th chapter. And this is an account of two groups of Nephites. One of them led by King Mosiah, and the other led by King Limhi. And they were separated. And King Mosiah was anxious to find out what happened to his brothers. And so he chose 16 valiant young men to travel to the land of Lehi and Nephi to find their lost brothers. And so they did that. They took off, and they finally made it to that area, only to be met by their brothers, who immediately took them into custody and put them in jail because they didn't know who they were. So after 3 days of being in jail, King Limhi said, "Deliver these young men to me. I want to see what they're up to." And he gave them the opportunity to speak, and these young men said, "We are your brothers, and we have been looking for you, and we're so thankful that we have found you." And King Limhi was equally thankful, because by this time they were in bondage to the Lamanites, and they were sorely taxed and made to do hard labor. They were in bondage to the Lamanites. And so King Limhi was very pleased, because since these 16 young men showed up, he knew that they were going to be delivered out of the bondage that they were in to the Lamanite people. And King Limhi was so pleased that he sent out a proclamation, and he said, "Gather together the people, because I want to speak to them." And you would think, oh, he's going to tell them how thrilled he is that they're going to be taken out of bondage, and what a wonderful day this is. But let's read what he said to them. It's going to start on page 229 of the Book of Mormon. And I'm going to start at verse number 26. And this is the 5th chapter of the Book of Mosiah. "And it came to pass that when they had gathered themselves together, that he spake unto them in this wise, saying, O ye my people, lift up your heads and be comforted, for behold, the time is at hand, or is not far distant, when we shall no longer be in subjection to our enemies, notwithstanding our many strugglings, which have been in vain. Yet I trust there remaineth an effectual struggle to be made. Therefore lift up your heads and rejoice, and put your trust in God, in that God who was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and that also that God who brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and caused that they should walk through the Red Sea on dry ground and fed them with manna that they might not perish in the wilderness. And many more things did he do for them. And again, that same God has brought our fathers out of the land of Jerusalem and has kept and preserved this people even until now." So it's very positive, uplifting talk to his people. But then he said this. We've been there. Shall no longer be in subjection to our enemies. Put your trust in God. And behold, it is because of our iniquities and abominations that has brought us into bondage. He was quick to point out to the people why they were in the mess that they were in. Because of their iniquities and their abominations. He was taking responsibility. He said, our iniquities. He didn't say your iniquities. He said, our iniquities. He was taking responsibility for their actions and his own actions. There was no victim mentality here. I'm going to skip down to... Where shall I go? 35, verse 35. And behold, we at this time do pay tribute to the king of the Lamanites, to the amount of one half of our corn and our barley, and even all our grain of every kind, and one half of the increase of our flocks and our herds, and even one half of all we have or possess, the king of the Lamanites doth exact of us or our lives. And now is this grievous to be borne? And is not this our affliction great? And now, how great reason we have to mourn. Yes, we're in a terrible situation here. But he didn't blame it on the Lamanites. He said, yea, I say unto you, great are the reasons which we have to mourn. For behold, how many of our brethren have been slain, and their blood has been spilt in vain, and all because of iniquity. He's not blaming it on the Lamanites. He's not blaming it on whatever reason they left. He's saying, we have sinned. We have sinned a terrible sin. We deserve what we got here. For if this people had not fallen into transgressions, the Lord would not have suffered that this great evil should come upon them. I'm going to skip down to verse 47. Therefore, who wondereth that they are in bondage and that they are smitten with sore afflictions? For behold, the Lord has said, I will not succor my people in the day of their transgression, but I will hedge up their ways, that they prosper not, and their doings shall be a stumbling block before them. And again he saith, if my people shall sow filthiness, they shall reap the chaff thereof in the whirlwind, and the effects thereof is poison. Those are strong words. I'm sure he's had plenty of time to think about this. And plenty of time to realize that the people had no one to blame but themselves. And again he saith, if my people shall sow filthiness, they shall reap the east wind, which bringeth immediate destruction. And now behold, the promise of the Lord is fulfilled, and ye are smitten and afflicted. Do we not have that same promise? We sure do. If we choose to follow the path of sin and iniquity and abominations, we will be smitten. Maybe not immediately. I'd rather have my hand slapped now than to have an eternity of bondage. But, I always like it when they start a sentence with that. Maybe there's some hope. But if you will turn to the Lord with full purpose of heart and put your trust in Him and serve Him with all diligence of mind, if ye do this, He will, according to His own will and pleasure, deliver you out of bondage. I'd like to dissect this verse a little bit. The bulk of my sermon is going to be based on this verse. So let's look at the first phrase. But if you will turn to the Lord with full purpose of heart. That's a complete commitment. Full purpose of heart. With great desire. You know, when I was young, I used to think of religion as being a kind of a threat. If you don't do this, oh, it's going to be terrible. If you don't do that, or if you do this, oh, it's going to be terrible. But there's a better way to look at it. The joy of righteousness. Not just the eternal joy, but the joy that we have in our lives. When we know that we are on that straight and narrow path. And that we're being led by the Lord. And we're doing it because we want to. Because we have a great desire. Because we have full purpose of heart. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to have a great, genuine respect for the Creator, to walk in all His ways and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of God and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. It should be a joy to serve the Lord. 2 Nephi chapter 13, verse 16. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, exactly the same phrase, acting no hypocrisy and deception before God, but with real intent. Can it be any other way? Can we fool God? Can we make Him think we're doing the right thing for the right reason? Of course not. Acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and your Savior down into the water according to His word. Behold, then ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. One of our brothers read this earlier this week and said how the people clapped their hands and they said, this is the desire of our heart. They were thrilled. They were excited that they were going to receive this blessing with full purpose of heart. And put your trust in Him. Trust in the Lord. So many different ways we can do that. One, to begin with, we can trust that He's actually there. We have faith that God exists. And that He loves us. And that He cares for us. Because we're His children. Just as we care for our little ones and want the very best for them. Trusting that He will hear and answer our prayers. Trusting in God. This is where we put our trust. 2 Nephi 3:62 says, I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh. I'm not going to trust in someone else. I don't want you to trust in me. I don't want you to believe all these things just because I'm saying them. I want you to test these things by the Word and by the Spirit. And if you find that I've told you something that's not true, I'm the first one that wants to know it. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. The Scripture is full of it. The history of the church is full of it. The history of the world is full of it. When people trust in man for their deliverance, they will fail and they will remain in bondage. Because only God can deliver from bondage. Psalm 31, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. The song we sing, one of our favorite hymns, Ashamed of Jesus? No. Never. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Can we put our trust in the righteousness of a brother or sister? We can admire it. But that's not where we can put our trust. Because we're all human and we all fail. Brother Mike, was it you that said, then we're not perfect? That was you. We're not. But God is. And His ways and His words are perfect. And they're constant. They're always there. And they're always right. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. And serve him with all diligence of mind. Full purpose of heart and diligence of mind. Serve him. Make a conscious effort to focus your energies on serving Him. That's diligence of mind. Rather than just sort of stumbling through life hoping for the best. Oh, I did a good thing the other day. Sure. But is that where your focus is? Are you concentrating on doing the right thing? There are many ways we serve Him. You know, I often think of the commandment, honor your father and your mother. How better can we honor our earthly parents? How better can we honor our Heavenly Father than by obedience? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 19. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. God says He's a jealous God. He wants us to trust only in Him, and not in anything else. Paul in his travels ran into this time after time after time. In Greece and in Italy and in Turkey, all the places that he went. Multitudinous gods. So many that they had to pray to the unknown God in case they missed one. And they trusted in all of these gods. Except the one true God. And God was jealous. Well, we don't have idols that we worship and bow down to. I mean, like statues and that kind of stuff. The apostle and I were talking this evening. He wanted to buy a watch. And I told him, well, you should buy a 2,000 peso watch. So when you go back to Yucatan, you can say, look at my new watch. It costs 2,000 pesos. I'm a very elegant person. I'm worthy of your admiration because I have a 2,000 peso watch. That watch would be a god, would be an idol. He decided maybe a 20 peso watch would probably do the job. That's $2. I hope you find your $2 watch, brother. This verse has a lot of significance to me. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. It should be a joy. Sometimes when you get in a position of being a pastor and a missionary and father and a grandfather and have to work and to do all these things, you think, this is just too much. Well, I can't think of anything I'd rather be doing tonight than what I'm doing right now. This brings me joy. I love this. There was a discussion today, I don't even remember where or when, but we're talking about selling things and how if you're a really good salesman, you're going to be excited about your product. And if you're excited about your product, boy, your customer is going to be just as excited as you are. Where's Jose? There you are. Is that true? You bet. You know, you come out and you say, I got this brand new pair of shoes. These just came in. These are the coolest things. You're going to love these shoes. You know, look at his smile. You know, you can just see him. He sells shoes because he's excited about his product. I'm excited about my product. I'm excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the plan of salvation, the promise of eternal life, and the opportunity to serve with gladness. And behold, I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom. Mosiah 1:49. That you may learn that when you are in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God. We've heard this over and over and over. We've got any number of camp t-shirts with this on it. And we believe this, and we do it. Serving God. Who can tell me where this picture was taken? What town? Okay, what happened? They had a mudslide there. Wiped out a goodly portion of the town. Our young people were having a camp, a youth camp. And rather than going and having a fun activity, they decided, we're going to go help those people dig out their town. Jessica, what happened to your tennis shoes? They were unrecognizable as pink tennis shoes. They were very, very brown tennis shoes. By the end of 2 days, was it, of that? Down there in the muck and the well, look at it. Did you guys complain a lot? Having to do that? No, not a bit. You did it gladly, willingly. I expect that there were a lot of people in that town that were grateful for what these young people did. Because these people were devastated. They were in a form of bondage. And helped them out. That's cool. That is really cool. Joshua 24, 24. This is not the verse we normally hear out of Joshua 24. But Joshua made a challenge to them. And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." That's a very definite statement. There's no doubting what they were saying. This is not wishy-washy. This is, we will do it. And they were happy to do it. They were serving him with all diligence of mind. If he do this, he will, according to his own will and pleasure, deliver you out of bondage. There are three things in this phrase. If you will do this, meaning all the other things that were in this verse, he will, God will, according to his own will and pleasure. That's one we don't like to swallow. Because that means it's not according to my will and pleasure or yours. Example. The Israelites ended up in Egypt. And to begin with, it was a pretty nice deal. You know, they had food where they didn't have food before. They had the best part of the land. They had Joseph as the number two man in the entire kingdom. They were set. But it wasn't to continue. And Joseph's parting words to his people were these. Joseph said unto his brethren, "I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Now, if you'd been there listening to Joseph proclaim this, wouldn't you kind of think that probably within maybe the next 4 to 6 months, we're out of here? We're going back home. Going back to the promised land, the land of milk and honey, we're going to live happily ever after. 430 years later, according to God's own will and pleasure, according to God's timetable, we've all experienced adversity, both individually and as a church. We've seen great blessings. We've seen prayers go unanswered. We've seen miraculous occurrences and things that work out in a way that we never expected for them to work out. And maybe not when we expected them to work out. But they were done according to God's own will and pleasure. Isaiah 55, verse 7. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." That's what we have to do. We have to turn from sin and wickedness. God will pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He will deliver us, but maybe not according to our timetable or the way we expect Him to do it. But the promise is there. Let me back up. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. That's a promise. He will do it. But He also wants us to put our trust in Him. If I say, Lord, I've got this problem. I'm in bondage to a sin. And I need your help to get out of this. And you approach Him with all diligence of heart. He will deliver you. But I might say, and this is how I want you to do it, Lord. I want you to do this and this and this, and then it's going to be easy for me. It's not going to be a problem. I can deal with it. And I've got it all figured out. What are you doing? You're trusting in your own ideas. Here you go, God. This is how I want you to do it. Now, let's go. Because our ways are not His ways, and His ways are not our ways. And His ways are the best ways, because they always, always work. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. According to God's own will, will He accomplish His purposes? Okay. So we're talking about bondage. Talking about the Lord delivering us from bondage. We've been talking about God delivering the Israelites out of Egypt. That whole scenario of Jacob and his whole family going to Egypt, being there for 430 years. And then the miraculous occurrences of the plagues and the deliverance out of bondage to Pharaoh. All of that was commemorated in the Passover ritual to help them to remember this deliverance from bondage to Pharaoh. And they were told to keep that remembrance every year, year after year after year. And it was firmly planted in their minds, the concept of deliverance from bondage. And the whole law of sacrifices was instituted. And all of these things were symbols to get them in the mindset of serving God with gladness, that they could overcome bondage. So when Christ came, and as he is celebrating that Passover for the last time, in the twinkling of an eye, everything changed. I like to think about being there in that upper room as they were performing this ritual that had been performed for hundreds and hundreds of years. Everything was going along pretty much like it had always had until he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body." I can only imagine the electric shock that went through those men when suddenly everything was different, because he didn't say the words that had always been said. "This is my body, which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." All of a sudden, we're no longer remembering being delivered from the bondage of Pharaoh. It's a totally different remembrance. It's a remembrance of being delivered from the bondage of sin. That in giving up his body, all the law of sacrifices was done away with. That veil of the temple was torn in two. The altar of God was open to all men, that they could freely walk into his presence if they would accept the body of Jesus Christ. Suddenly, everything was changed when he handed them the cup and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." So, when we read in 2 Peter this verse, "Of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage," it's a different paradigm. It's not like being in bondage to Pharaoh. Because the man that overcomes us is not human. He's Satan himself. If we are overcome of Satan, then we are in bondage to Satan. We are in bondage to sin. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." All of Christ's people, all of the family of Christ, the body of Christ, is free. We've been freed from the bondage of sin when we've reached out and partook of his body and his blood. But there is a warning. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't be in bondage again. But continue. Continue partaking of that body and blood of Jesus Christ. continue serving him with gladness. Second Nephi 1:19 and 1:20. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh. We're particularly free to live in this country. We have a lot of freedoms to pretty much do whatever we want to do. But all men everywhere are free to do what they want to do. It's just a matter of what are the consequences? We're free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediation of all men. That is a choice. It's there. All we have to do is reach out and take it. And we can be free to choose liberty, freedom from bondage, and eternal life through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Or we can choose captivity and death, according to the captivity and death and captivity and power of the devil. You kids have sat through enough classes. Kids, anybody younger than me as a kid. You've sat through enough classes, Sunday school classes, camp classes, sermons. To hear, every day you have choices. Every day you make choices. And each and every one of those choices has a consequence. There is a consequence to every action that we make, however great or however small. And each time we make one of those choices, we're choosing liberty and eternal life, or we're choosing captivity and death. We had a sister stand up in a prayer meeting. Positively distraught. Devastated. To the point of barely being able to speak. Because of choices that her daughter had made. The choices that one person makes has a ripple effect throughout family, throughout church, throughout society. We do not live in a vacuum. Everything that each one of us does affects the church. And everything the church does affects the world. So here's the whole verse again. Let's take a look at it. And I hope that you remember this. I would refer to this as a cross-stitch verse. This would be one, if you came to me and said, I want to do a cross-stitch project, I'd say, here's a good verse for you. Because it's rich. It's profound. It's deep. There are many, many, many parts to it. I expect we could have the ministry line up here, and each one of you guys could continue to preach on this verse and not repeat anything I said. But if you will turn to the Lord with full purpose of heart and put your trust in Him and serve Him with all diligence of mind, if you do this, He will, according to His own will and pleasure, deliver you out of bondage. This is a promise that we have from our Lord. And I admonish each one of us to claim that promise. God bless you each.